We are in the book of Mark. Chapter 1, verse 21 to 34 today. If you like to take notes, I encourage you to do that. The title of the sermon today is Jesus is Lord of Creation. Jesus is Lord of Creation. Mark begins his little book with John the Baptist, who baptizes Jesus in the Jordan. Then the Spirit of God drove Jesus into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan, the deceiver, for 40 days. When John the Baptist then is arrested, Jesus relocates to the north. He relocates northward to the Galilee region where Jesus proclaims the gospel. Good news. The good news of God saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Believe in the gospel. Last time we noted how Jesus then called four fishermen to follow him. They were Peter, Andrew, James, and John. We also noted how this is a paradigm, an example of the Christian life for all who are called by God to repent of sin and to believe in the good news of forgiveness of sin in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. That is how anyone comes to be saved from sin and is given new life in Christ. But that is just the beginning of the Christian life. Those who are called to repent and to believe are also called to follow Christ. In fact, all who respond in faith to the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ are also called to follow Jesus in obedience to his word. Jesus said, follow me. And they followed him. We will divide our text this morning under three headings. First, Jesus has authority over the immaterial world, that which is not material. Jesus has authority over the immaterial world. Jesus has authority, secondly, over the material world. And lastly, Jesus is Lord of all creation time. Jesus is Lord of all creation time. We will read our text, and I'll begin at verse 14. Our text begins at 21, but we'll pick it up at 14. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew and his brother of Simon casting net into the sea, and they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And they went into Capernaum. And immediately on the Sabbath, he, Jesus, entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent. Come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he, Jesus, came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this, your word, your living, life-giving, life-transforming word, applied by your Spirit to our hearts. So give us ears to hear, eyes to see, that we may learn of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus has authority over the immaterial world. Jesus first affirms that the kingdom of God is at hand by doing battle with the immaterial world of fallen angelic beings. Being in Capernaum on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue along with his disciples, James and John, and Peter and Andrew. And Jesus began to teach as was his custom. In fact, with one exception, Jesus is always the teacher. In the gospel accounts, Jesus is always the teacher, with one exception. The exception is in the book of Luke, I believe. It could be John. I might have a mistake there. Chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. The exception then is Jesus being the teacher. When Jesus, the boy, was about 12 years old, Jesus was nearing the age of Bar mitzvah for the Jewish people, the time when a Jewish boy passes from boyhood to manhood responsibilities. Bar mitzvah. So Luke gives us the account in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 42, as there was a custom every year for Jesus and his family to go up to the temple. They were up in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. But this time, Jesus stayed in Jerusalem in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to the teachers, and asking questions of the teachers. And they, the teachers, were amazed at the understanding and the answers that Jesus gave. That was one exception where Jesus was listening and learning from the teachers. Now Jesus, the teacher, entered the synagogue in Capernaum and began to teach. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. The scribes would quote the interpretations of respected rabbis, so and so and so and so, but Jesus taught with the power of his own authority. Jesus taught the correct understanding of Scripture. And straightway, or immediately, there was a demon-possessed man in the synagogue. He was not there to get help. He was not there to learn from Jesus, but rather to attack Jesus. And the man cried out with a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Now it is correct that Jesus was from Nazareth. He was known as a Nazarene. But the title was derogatory. You may have recall what Philip and Nathanael said. When Philip found Nathanael and said to him, this is in John 1:45, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." So Nazareth didn't have the greatest reputation. The demon continued, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent. Come out of him." And the demon came out. Jesus always rebuked demons for their testimonies about him. Jesus wanted his teaching and his actions, not the impure words of demons, to proclaim who he was. So Jesus wanted his own teaching and his own actions to be heard and seen. Understandably, the people were impressed. And his fame spread throughout all the Galilee. "He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him." Jesus demonstrated that he has authority over the immaterial order, for he is Lord of all creation. We should not think that the immaterial does not exist, as teachers in our schools and universities may tell you, that the only things you know are by your senses and what you see and hear and touch. God created us, human beings, in his image, both material and immaterial, body and soul. The secular world does not believe you have a soul, but that you are merely an animal in a body. And that's it. That's not true. We exist as human beings made in the image of God, composed of both material and immaterial. One is not more image of God than the other, but both together, the way God created us to be. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, material, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, immaterial. And the man became a living creature. Body and soul. God himself is spirit. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, remarkably the eternal Son, took to himself a body of flesh like yours and like mine, yet without sin. God did this in order to identify with us in Christ as the better Adam, to save us from our sin. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the one unique God-man, fully God, fully man. Denying the existence of anything beyond our five senses, what we touch, what we see, what we hear, what we smell or taste, is to deny the very existence of God. Yet only the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Furthermore, Psalm chapter 10, verse 4 says, in the pride of his anger, the wicked says, the Lord will not call to account. All the thoughts of the wicked are, there is no God. Paul exalts the love of God towards us in Christ. In that triumphant hymn of Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, where he lists all types of things created, both material and immaterial, to the glory of God. Listen to one part of that passage in verse 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all the creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So Jesus has authority over the immaterial world. Jesus also has authority over the material world. We see that on many accounts of the gospel accounts of Jesus. Jesus then gives this the second affirmation that the kingdom of God is at hand. After doing battle with the immaterial, he now does battle with the effects of sin, which brought into a very good creation pain, suffering, and death. After leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the home of Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. But Simon's mother-in-law, gravely ill, lay there with a fever. Jesus took her by the hand, lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve others. Notice the extent of her recovery. Some of you have been sick recently and now are feeling better, but not quite 100%. Notice the extent of her recovery that was unlike anything you or I have experienced. The usual recovery period requires time, sometimes substantial time, for our bodies to slowly regain strength while we eat and rest well. However, Peter's mother-in-law recovered not only from the fever, but also from the weakness, with such vigor that she got up and she began to serve the others. We note a couple of things in this passage. First of all, in the Gospels, when Jesus exhibits his authority over the material of material part of creation by healing a person, it is never in part. It is never in part, but in the whole. Jesus never heals halfway, but completely. The blind see perfectly. The lame leap up and walk. They pick up their beds. They jump with great bounds of joy for being made whole again. And in this case, Peter's mother-in-law got up from her sick bed and begins to serve others. The other interesting thing to see in this little passage is that Peter does have a mother-in-law. That means that Peter was married. Surprise! Peter had a wife. Marriage is a blessing to all people, including and especially those who are called to minister the Word of God. Also, Paul attests to the fact that Peter was married in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. Paul says, "Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Peter?" Well, that evening, at sundown, people came to the house. Sundown of Saturday, the Sabbath, is the beginning of the first day of the week, according to the creation days of Genesis 1, that begin at sundown. They brought to him all who were sick and all who were oppressed by demons, and he healed them. But he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. Jesus is Lord over all the created order, including time, space, history. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, is sovereign over all of creation, which is the work of his hands from the moment of creation to the day of judgment. Jesus is the Lamb of God and the better Adam who reigns now over all creation because he has ransomed a people for himself by his blood shed on the cross for us to make us his own people. Jesus is the better Adam. The promise of God made to Adam and Eve back in the garden. The promise to set right all the wrong of sin by crushing the head of the deceiver and defeating death. Thus, Jesus has authority over all the immaterial, over all the material things of creation. In fact, Jesus is Lord of all creation, things visible and invisible, including all the created time of history. Jesus is Lord of all creation time. It is by coincidence that our clocks changed today. That's what we do with time. Jesus is Lord over all creation time. When the triune God created the world and everything in it, time began. In eternity past, before creation, there was God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When God created all things, as recorded in Genesis chapter 1, time and history began. Thus, when Jesus proclaimed that the time is fulfilled, his words carry the weight of all authority for all time. Yet, curiously to our thinking, not long after Jesus spoke those words, Jesus would say to his blood brothers, "My time, my season of time, Kairos, has not yet fully come." The account is in John chapter 7, verses 2 through 10. Now, the Jews' feast of the booths was at hand, so his brothers said to Jesus, his brothers were skeptic at this point, "Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourselves to the world, for not even his brothers believed in him." Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am not going up to the feast, for my time has not yet fully come." And after saying this, he remained in Galilee. But after his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he also went up, not publicly, but privately. Later in the same chapter, John 7, 37 and 38. On the last day of the feast, the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." In both this text and in our text in Mark, Jesus calls people to believe, to repent of sin and to believe. And then, as we have noted, Jesus calls us to follow Christ and to grow in Christ's likeness. In our text, Jesus cast out many demons, but he would not permit them to speak because they knew him. Jesus would not permit them to speak, verse 34, and commanded them to be silent, verse 25, because they knew him. And so Jesus again wanted his teaching and actions, not the impure words of demons, to proclaim who he was. Jesus would proclaim the times which the Father determined. Morally filthy demons would not be permitted to speak of whatever time the Father had determined. Specific times, chronos, like you mark in a stopwatch. Specific times, chronos, and the seasons of time, kairos, would be determined by God the Father and God the Father alone. After the resurrection, when the risen Lord Jesus met with his disciples, they asked him about the kingdom and about specific time in which they lived. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said, Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times, the chronos, the specific times, or the seasons, the kairos, that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." We are told that we should all know our times. That's the saying that goes around here. What is our time? Our time in the here and now is to be witnesses. Witnesses of what Christ has done and will do. Our task is to live out lives as witnesses of Christ in all that He has personally done to call us and to save us from sin, and then to live out our lives by word and deed in Christ's likeness to the glory of God in Christ. Once he began his public ministry, Jesus continually gave signs of his authority over evil and the evil one in anticipation of his victory at the cross. All evil effects in body and in soul spirit were subject to the authority of King Jesus. And what does that mean for us today? In this time, if you are here without Christ as your Lord and Savior, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. Now is the day of salvation. Come to Christ for forgiveness of sin and newness of life in Christ. If you have trusted in Christ alone for forgiveness of sin, then know this, that this day is the day, kairos, the season of growth in Christ's likeness. As vitamins are means of having a healthy body, the means of grace are for your soul to grow in Christ. The means of grace, the preaching of the Word, the hearing and reading of the Word of God, prayer, the Lord's table, and communion with the body of Christ. And that is done each week on the Lord's Day. Right here. Sundays are filled with the means of grace for you. Each week, let me encourage you to make this the high point of the week, to savor the whole day of Sunday and not just part of the day. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your saving grace poured out on us in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for making him Lord of all creation. May you be praised. May we, your people, be found faithful to you in word and in deed, in soul and in body, at your soon return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.